Through the years, I've realized that in my quest for discovering who I am, it's really been a process of elimination of who I am not. And I've gone, ironically, when I've tried to discover who I am, I ran away as far away as I could to who I am, to the other end of the spectrum of who I am not. And then it took desperate measures, and in this case, a now or never situation, to get me back on the path of trying to discover who I am. Which brings me to the time of my life when I was involved in pot farming. Now, people that have that have known me for the 30 years or more that I've been a non-drinker and a non-user, they ask, pot farming? Yep, you heard me right. And I got assigned to share this story with you a couple weeks ago. I wasn't sure, do I want to do this or not? And then I got assigned, and it was when I was riding the bus back to Morro Bay one day, and a couple teenagers in the back of the bus lit up a joint on the bus and just filled the bus with that unmistakable smell. And the bus driver yelled back, "You kids smoking pot back there? No, it's oregano or whatever. It's cloves." And they had the Morro Bay Police Department waiting for them at the end, but all they got was a ticket, which is we had to worry about a little bit more. Now, growing up, I had a healthy fear of pot. I remember in grammar school, the two deputies from the sheriff department coming and doing a presentation at the school, and they had a big bulletin board with various drug paraphernalia strapped on top of it, and I remember seeing the fake joint strapped right next to the hypodermic needle, which showed the direct correlation between smoking pot leads directly to shooting up heroin, and I hated hypodermic needles. And besides that, those two sheriff deputies were my baseball coaches. And so it took a long time for me to experience pot. But the first time I did, it was shortly after high school, and it was good. It was that prime Humboldt bud. And I remember taking that first hit and doing the traditional coughing your guts out the first time you try it. And then that moment, the first time you try pot, that moment right before the THC kicks in, when what goes through your mind is, okay, what's going to happen next? Oh. That's why this stuff is so popular. And I remember feeling that rush of euphoria and relaxation. And then I discovered something else, that pot is, one quality of pot is that it's a great pain reliever, whether your pain is physical or emotional or spiritual. So I was hooked. I was hooked at that point. And so I found myself camping in a small hut next to a 55-gallon drum wood stove surrounded by 6 to 7 foot prime Humboldt plants. And I wasn't the owner of this pot farm. I was a hired hand tasked with guarding the farm, this little farm, against any marauders that might come by. I was easy. I mean, anybody could have come on and taken whatever they wanted. I wouldn't have done anything. But I guess it was just, I just wanted to get so close to something that was so effective for killing the pain that I had, which in my case was emotional and spiritual pain, which is common. After the harvest, I was paid. I was paid one plant, but it's a 6 to 7 foot plant, so it's actually a good payday. And after that, I moved back into town, into Eureka. The farm itself was way up in the hills, up in, you know, the what do they call it? The triangle, whatever they call it, the Evergreen Triangle. And so I moved back into town into Eureka, and hooked up with people that were just vagabonds. Eureka is just is that kind of place where it just collects people from all over who are just lost, I guess. And my roommate was a guy from L.A. He was a big Italian kid, Tony, who was an ex-football player with the University of Texas. And so when you're at your peak paranoid state, when stoned, Tony was about the scariest thing you could see. He was... it was horrifying. And he was my roommate. I was in perpetual fear all the time and paranoid. And then there was Eliza, who was from Hong Kong, a beautiful Chinese girl from Hong Kong, who was father was a Chinese diplomat, so she had diplomatic immunity, and she was also an ex-heroin addict from Hong Kong and recovering. And then there was the two Cheryls up the street, and that just loved to party. So it was just kind of a little group, and we were in this little compound of little rental houses up there, in school, out of school, just floating. And as time went on, I just kept on dulling the pain more and more, of course, to the point where I was just smoking pot every day, and it wasn't anything for pleasure. It was just to kill the pain. And one of the Cheryls was, she was 19 at the time, wise beyond her years. If I just look back at my life and realize the times when I listened to various wise women in my life, that's where I kind of got back on the right path of discovering who I am. And she saw that I was using the pot not for recreational purposes, but is just to kind of dull the pain. And she saw that it just wasn't right for me. It wasn't right for me. So anyway, one day she came to pick me up from school. I was going to Humboldt State, and she was borrowed my car. And she came to pick me up from school, and she said, "Listen, I have an appointment at the hospital. Do you mind going there with me?" And I said, "No, I'll go there and just hang out in the car." She said, "Just fine." And so we got to the hospital, and she said, "Well, would you mind coming in with me?" And I said, "No, that's fine. I'll come in. I'll just wait." And we went into the mental health portion of the hospital, and she went up to the front desk, and then she turned to me, and she said, "I made the appointment for you to see a counselor." And this was one of those moments where it's a now or never moment. Do I take it or not? And I guess she knew I was ready, and I guess I knew I was ready. So I said, "Okay." And so I started counseling. And it was a few counseling sessions after that when one night I found myself on the floor, writhing in a fetal position and sobbing and crying and just saying to myself, "This is not who I am. This is not who I am." And it was at that time when I was able to look outside myself, looking at myself, where I started my quest of really discovering who I was. And it's led me to tonight, listening to this wonderful story. So that's my story for the night.